A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging arts organizations and institutions. We'll look at the impact of the economy, technology, and society on the arts, the importance of arts education, and how these organizations and ensembles are adjusting and innovating as they face the future. Today, we'll return to the campus of the University of Pennsylvania, where the Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts just announced its upcoming season. The center is looking to reinvigorate its tradition of attracting cutting-edge performances, and I'll speak with Christopher Gruitz, now in his second season as the Annenberg Center's executive and artistic director. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. David Hertzberg, whose The Wake World premiered at Opera Philadelphia last September as part of the inaugural O17 Festival, has been awarded the Music Critics of North America's Prize for Best New Opera. The award was announced by the association's publication, Classical Voice North America, which said critics called the opera incredibly original, with music that was lush and tonal. The Wake World was premiered in September at the Barnes Foundation, whose collection served as the basis for the opera. Hertzberg was also nominated this year in the Newcomers category for the International Opera Awards, although this past week that prize went to director Barbara Horakova-Jolly. The Bayerische Staatsoper took Best Opera Company, Musica Terna was named Best Chorus, Vladimir Yurowski received the Best Conductor Award, and Teatro alla Scala was named Best Opera Orchestra. A full list can be found at operaawards.org/archive/2018. The jazz world mourned the passing of African-American pianist and poet Cecil Taylor, who died April 5th. According to The Guardian, Taylor blended classical and jazz techniques in a style that was difficult to categorize. He was first noted for his 1956 debut album, Jazz Advance, but faced challenges in the more commercial world because of his experimental approach and styles. He was named a jazz master in 1990 by the National Endowment for the Arts and received a MacArthur Foundation grant the following year. He studied at the New York College of Music and the New England Conservatory. Taylor was 89. And finally, John Oliver, founder of the Tanglewood Festival Chorus and conductor for more than four decades, has died at the age of 78. According to the Boston Globe, Oliver, a native of Teaneck, New Jersey, was working at Tanglewood when he suggested creating a permanent chorus at the festival in 1971 instead of using different local groups. In an interview around his retirement in 2015, Oliver told the Globe that the chorus had been like a family to him, later saying that many of its members had grown up with the chorus. Oliver studied at the University of Notre Dame and New England Conservatory. In a statement on its website, the Boston Symphony Orchestra said it would remember Oliver with a special concert during this year's summer festival, with further details to be announced at a later date. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. When the Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts opened on the University of Pennsylvania campus in 1971, it was designed to meet the diverse and changing cultural demands of a modern American city. Since arriving in the fall of 2016, Executive and Artistic Director Christopher Gruitz has made that a central focus of his programming plans, incorporating innovative and contemporarily relevant ideas and themes into the center's jazz, dance, world music, and classical presentations. The center just announced its 2018-2019 season, and it weaves current-day issues of race, gender, and immigration across its various disciplines. A series called The Philadelphians will explore the various migrations and cultural influences on the city over the years. The dance series welcomes the Dance Theater of Harlem as artist in residence and brings the Spectrum Dance Theater to perform a rap on race. And even one of the more classically traditional aspects of the season, performances by Jordi Savall and the English Concert, fill what Gruitz sees as an increased modern-day demand for early music among Philadelphia audiences. I spoke with Gruitz about the Annenberg Center's role in the Philadelphia community and its upcoming season, beginning with what he sees as some of the dance highlights coming up next year.
The first one is really exciting as our artist-in-residence, Dance Theater of Harlem, will return to Philadelphia. They're very, very popular with Philadelphia audiences. They're going to be coming in as the Annenberg Artist-in-Residence for the 2018-2019 season. We'll be having the world premiere of a new work by Robert Garland, who is a native of Philadelphia. So we're really excited to bring him back to Philadelphia with Dance Theater of Harlem. They're going to be teching and working on this piece while they're at the Annenberg, while also doing a lot of outreach with Penn students and university students from Drexel, University of the Arts, Temple, as well as working in the community with Philadelphia school children to bring them in for performances, and then through a variety of kind of outreach mechanisms with students around dance and some of the themes from their program. So that's one highlight from the dance series we're really excited about. The Martha Graham Dance Company is returning to Philadelphia with a program called the Eve Project, and this is a project that really addresses women's empowerment and the female perspective, really contextually from the viewpoint of Martha Graham from the 1930s. Is the Philadelphia premiere of a piece called Chronicle, which Martha Graham developed in response to her invitation to perform at the Olympics in the 1930s, the Nazi Olympics. So it's a pretty powerful work. It really blew me away when I saw it. We'll also have a preview performance of a new piece by Maxine Doyle and Bobby Jean Smith, which is who are two female choreographers. So their program is very interesting because it's really based and set from the perspective of female choreographers and females' response to kind of these ideas around power and the female role in society. So we're very excited about that program as well. We see some new companies coming to Philadelphia who haven't been here before. So Dance Higginbotham from New York, they really developed out of the Mark Morris tradition. John Higginbotham's a really fine dance artist and multidisciplinary artist. So they'll be coming to Philadelphia for their Philadelphia debut for the first time and premiering several pieces in Philadelphia as part of their program. And then also Spectrum Dance from Seattle will be having their Philadelphia debut. And they have a program called A Rap on Race. It's a brand new program. This is the Philadelphia premiere of that piece. And it's really dance theater, which I think is really interesting. It mixes dance and theater to enliven the current conversation around race and equity. It was created by Donald Byrd and Anna Devere Smith. And they developed this in association with Seattle Repertory Theater. And it's a really interesting piece that's based on a 1970, iconic 1970 conversation on race between James Baldwin and Margaret Mead. And so they've taken this conversation and then created this kind of dance theater work around it, which I think is really powerful. And so that'll be the first time they perform in Philadelphia. It'll be the premiere of this piece in Philadelphia. We're also going to see, you know, just really a range of dance. We have local dance, Kenyane Lynn Dance, who is a very important choreographer you may know of, based in Philadelphia. This will be his company's Annenberg Center debut. We wanted to work with him. We thought a lot of the work he was doing was very important. I wanted to bring him over to the Annenberg to take a look at that. There's an Australian contemporary circus troupe called Circa, and they're going to be opening our season with the U.S. premiere of a new work called Humans. And this is prior to their BAM Next Wave appearance in New York. We'll have the U.S. premiere in Philadelphia prior to them going on to New York City. It's a really phenomenal company. It's kind of amazing what they can do, what they're able to demonstrate that the human body can do in terms of, you know, defying gravity and combining theater, dance, and circus together. So it's a very special performance that we'll do September 20th and 29th. That's co-presented with Fringe Arts, and it'll be part of the Fringe Festival as well as the Annenberg season opener.
You've chosen as the theme the Philadelphians as kind of an overriding theme that's going to string together and carry through the season. What specifically are you hoping to do with that theme, and why now?
One thing I'm really hoping to do is to explore, you know, the history of the city. You know, I'm new to Philadelphia, and I'm just kind of in love with it and just fascinated by its history. And it struck me that, you know, so much of the history of Philadelphia was based on, you know, groups of people coming here and starting the city, building the city, as well as the current groups that are continuing to come to the city. It's still a major center for immigration and for, you know, groups, migrations of people that are changing and shaping the city. And so we wanted to explore through performance what that looked like from the 18th century perspective, and then also to really look at what artists today, how they would interpret that theme. And I think we're doing it now because we really want to highlight the fact that this is a city that has been built on immigration and migrations of people. It continues to be built on that, and that also there's some really important work that's being presented by early music ensembles and by contemporary artists that address these themes and really helps inform audiences about the history of this particular place. What we also wanted to do is create a conversation via this Junto style discussion group based on Franklin's guidelines for discussion and debate from the 18th century. And so we're partnering with the library company to create a series of events that address some of these themes of migration and immigration, the African-American experience in Philadelphia, and really how the city was shaped by these groups of people who helped build the city.
Now, as you mentioned, the Dance Theater of Harlem will be your artist in residence. What in particular do you think they will bring and add to the coming season?
Well, I think the first thing is Robert Garland's a very fine choreographer who's from Philadelphia. So in conversations with them, a lot of it was centered on, you know, bringing Robert back to Philadelphia, looking at this new world premiere that he was creating, this new work for the company. So I think they're going to bring a really exciting program that, you know, integrates a Philadelphia, you know, native son in a way, which I think is really exciting for the city. They really bring a level of sophistication to the dance that they present. They're a very fine company. They're a very uniquely American company. And I think the fact that they have this Philadelphia connection and Philadelphia tie-in is really great. They also do fantastic outreach with the community. So I think for a lot of young kids interested in dance, they're a great example of the diversity and range of the dance world today. So we're excited to be presenting them again.
Well, I know community interaction has become a very important aspect for a lot of cultural institutions, but in particular, that's been one emphasis of the classical, some of the classical presentations, particularly the chamber music. How have you seen the interactive portions of the classical music portion grow, and what's on tap for this coming season?
So much of what we're trying to do is really pull the formality out of these presentations without dumbing anything down. So we want to always be presenting very high quality work for audiences from very high quality artists, but in a way that makes sure that audiences are comfortable and feel that they are empowered to ask questions and engage in a dialogue with artists. I think that's really key and very important for audiences today. And so a lot of what we tried to do with the Chamber Orchestra's series is really create a format where, in combination with WRTI hosting the live event, that audiences can kind of come in, ask questions, they can engage with the audience, with the host around the music that they're hearing. Many times this will be around contemporary music or around thematic programs that have defined themes. So in the case of next season, we're going to be looking at themes related to migrations that the Chamber Orchestra is presenting, which will be a combination of historic repertoire with new contemporary rep. And in those cases, when we're kind of trying to address a beefy theme, we want to make sure that the audience feels like they can talk to the musicians, they can talk to the host and ask questions if they have it, you know, after listening to these pieces. The environment's more informal. People have drinks. They kind of come in and out. The seating is kind of in the round in the Harold Prince Theater at the Annenberg Center. So audiences can get up close to the musicians and feel like they're really connecting with the performers. So that's really important. I think also in terms of kind of quote-unquote classical for the Annenberg next season, we're seeing a very big push programmatically into early music. And this is really a big gap in the market in Philadelphia. Philadelphia has really lacked a presenter to really present very significant national and international groups in early music and Baroque music. And when I say early music, I mean music, you know, before Mozart, essentially. It's a very broad term. So in the case of Jordi Savall, or in the case of the English Concert with Harry Bickett, that's a program the English Concert's bringing down from Carnegie Hall, the very successful series of operas in concert, Handel operas in concert up at Carnegie Hall. That program's never been to Philadelphia. That ensemble's never been to Philadelphia. Jordi Savall has also never been to Philadelphia. So these types of artists are very important. They are some of the finest artists in the world presenting this type of music and performing this type of music. And our feeling was that Philadelphia audiences really deserve to see these artists as well. It shouldn't be that these artists are performing in New York and Washington, D.C. and skipping Philadelphia. We want to make sure that they have a home base in Philadelphia so audiences can experience this music.
And there's also quite a lineup for the theater and the world music and jazz. What are some of the highlights in those categories?
Well, I think for jazz, what we wanted to do this year in particular is really look at what was happening in terms of jazz, the jazz keyboard, jazz pianists, and really take a look at a few different younger artists, really diverse artists for the jazz keyboard, and kind of, you know, hear from them and look at their perspectives and the type of music that they were performing and composing. So we're very excited to have Vijay Iyer and his Annenberg Center debut, and it's a very rare solo performance that he'll be doing in the Harold Prince Theater at the Annenberg. It's going to be a particularly exciting program. He's a MacArthur Fellow, and he's been, yeah, the reviews of him, he's really one of the most interesting and vital pianists in jazz today. So I saw his program a couple times in New York, and I'm just really blown away by the type of musical output. It's really fascinating. Another artist that we've had before who's really phenomenal is Hiromi. She really is a very electric live performer. She's doing a solo program in the Zellerbach Hall. She's just has these kind of explosive keyboard abilities. She's really a phenomenal artist, so she's returning to the Annenberg Center for that performance in April. And then somebody we're actually really interested in is Emmett Cohen, the Emmett Cohen Trio. He's a young Harlem-based piano player who hasn't been to the Annenberg Center before. He's going to have a really exciting program. He's been doing everything from, you know, the Late Show with Stephen Colbert to other types of performances, I think. So he's somebody we really wanted to take a look at and present as an exciting younger artist who's very up and coming. So jazz keyboard is a little bit of a focus within our jazz programming, although we have a lot of other performances. And then on the world music side, a very exciting program between Bela Fleck, Zakir Hussain, Edgar Meyer is coming, and they really are crossing borders and looking at, you know, new combinations of music that you wouldn't necessarily think would come together. So obviously banjoist Bela Fleck, and a tabla player is Zakir Hussain, and then a bassist Edgar Meyer. These are very different musical backgrounds and musical genres, but when they come together, it's really an exciting treat. It's a very interesting and innovative type of musical program. We're also going to have Nubuntu, which is a group from Zimbabwe. So it's kind of a mix of African world music, jazz, and gospel that comes together, which is really interesting. And then we always have a big audience for Celtic programming, Irish programming. So Michael Laundra and the Celtic Fire are a really fantastic group of musicians and dancers who put together a nice program of Celtic and Irish music for audiences. We have a very big following for that type of programming at the Annenberg Center.
Now, you're coming kind of to the end of your second season here at the Annenberg, and one of your goals really had been to bring the Annenberg back or really focus more on kind of the cutting edge avant-garde. You've certainly illustrated that quite a bit with the coming season. How have you seen that evolve over through the course of your first two seasons?
I think the first thing is that we've seen a lot of really great response to the more contemporary programming. So, for instance, last October, we had the world premiere of a theater piece based on a Murakami short story called Sleep, and that entire run sold out. We're seeing very healthy sales for a lot of our contemporary programming. So we know that there's an audience in Philadelphia for this type of programming that people are really interested in seeing very current, innovative, and contemporary work. So I think from the first season that I put together here, it's working out very well. We're seeing great audience response, and we're seeing a lot of artists who want to work with the Annenberg Center want to come to Philadelphia because there's just a great market here for this type of programming that in some ways wasn't being addressed. But I also think that this is evolving in a way where we're trying to look at very key, high-quality local partners in Philadelphia. And a great example of that would be The Crossing, the really, really fine chorus that's based in Philadelphia that we hadn't worked with before. And we knew that their Christmas concert, for instance, was so popular and so interesting. So we've partnered with them for next season to present that Christmas concert in Rittenhouse Square, actually. But that's a great example of one of the finest ensembles from Philadelphia that we hadn't necessarily worked with before, but that we wanted to collaborate with to present to audiences a program that we thought they would be really interested in and historically had been interested in. So I think it's evolving in the sense that we have this big commitment to national and international artists who aren't necessarily being presented in Philadelphia, but we're also partnering with very key, high-quality ensembles based in the city to kind of help them realize some of their projects and some of their programs.
Mm. Well, one element of this year's season is still actually in process, and that's your Cuba Festival. Tell us a bit about what's gone into that and what's coming up next.
Well, thank you for asking. Cuba's been such an interesting experience for us. It's been such a success so far in terms of audience uptake. Many of the programs have been selling out, and it was such a yeoman's task in terms of, for these artists in particular, in terms of trying to get the visas to come to America, because it was so challenging to get the kind of approvals to come in and do their tours and their performances. And so we were really happy that a few of these artists, it worked out that they were able to get these visas after they had to, you know, travel to other countries to do the interviews, and it was a lot of legwork just to get here. But upon their arrival, we've seen so many fascinating discussions happen around these programs. So we had a dance troupe, Dance Abierta, here a couple weeks ago for their Philadelphia debut. And we had a talk back after with the dancers and artistic director. And so many people in the audience stayed to ask questions, of these artists. You know, what is Cuba like? What's Havana like? What do you think of America? You know, this is really interesting discussions that came up. We had a great discussion with Dame Arosena last weekend. After her program, which was sold out. And that was just a really fantastic dialogue that we were able to facilitate between Philadelphians and the Philly metro area and these Cuban artists. And many people haven't been to Cuba. It's a very interesting place. There's amazing music and culture coming out of there. And so that's when we know, you know, with a festival like the Cuba Festival, that we've had a real success because we've had so much positive audience engagement with those artists and programs.
The Annenberg Center was the recipient not too long ago of a $15 million gift from, the Sachs family. And that's being used to fund the Sachs Program for Arts Innovation. What are some of the ways that you see that program complementing what's being done at the Annenberg Center? What are your hopes for how that gets pulled into that?
So the first thing I'll say is that the university at large received that gift. The Annenberg Center is the location of the Arts Innovation Hub and received a portion of that gift to update the center for this physical hub for students and for the community, as well as for some of the programming that the Sachs Hub is going to be developing with partners across campus. So I think we're incredibly excited about the fact that the hub is located at the center, and a lot of what we're trying to do is help consolidate information for arts and culture on Penn's campus and in West Philadelphia. The university has a really tremendous range of cultural assets, whether it's the Annenberg Center or the Penn Museum or the ICA or the Morris Arboretum. There's really a huge range of cultural assets that the university provides to the city of Philadelphia and the surrounding area. And so we're hoping this really complements a lot of our programming that's focused on contemporary and innovative, high-quality artists that aren't normally seen in Philadelphia. They have a commitment. The Sachs Hub has a commitment to supporting this type of work at the university and across the university. A lot of what we're interested in is multidisciplinary work that works across different departments and divisions and entities, both at Penn and in Philadelphia. And so they're very committed to that as well. So it's been tremendously exciting to have the start of that program here at the Annenberg Center and then see how that develops in our spaces as time goes on.
Hmm. Well, that actually leads into another question I wanted to ask. You referred earlier to kind of being in between D.C. and New York. Where do you see the role, or what do you see as the role of the Annenberg Center in terms of the regional cultural life?
Sure. So I think we've always been, as you mentioned earlier, on the more contemporary and innovative side. That's been our kind of programming legacy or programming history. And that's certainly something that we're going to continue. We've always been a big home for dance, obviously, and a big home for jazz and world music. Those are genres that we're very committed to presenting, and those are genres that we're always going to have here at the center. But I think when we look at other disciplines and other genres, like early music or contemporary classical music, those are genres that we've had a history with in the case of contemporary classical music that we're kind of revitalizing and refreshing in the future. We're looking to do that in the future. And with early music, those are kind of, that's a new genre, a new discipline that we're presenting. So I think the Annenberg Center's role is really to be looking at those artists, those national, those international artists across these disciplines that don't necessarily have a place in Philadelphia, that haven't been presented in Philadelphia. You know, these are types of artists that audiences just haven't seen here. They've had to historically go to New York or go to DC to see these types of artists. And I think we're going to be playing a big role in bringing those types of artists on a regular basis to Philadelphia, while also really maintaining a commitment to very contemporary, very, very innovative artists who are presenting programs and ideas that get people thinking. You know, this, a lot of what we're doing is trying to present very important programming for people, which is appropriate for a university presenter, because in some ways we can really support a lot of that programming through a lot of ancillary discussion and feedback with faculty, with experts that the university happens to have. So it's a great privilege and opportunity to be doing this type of programming at a university like Penn, which of course has tremendous resources in terms of thought leaders and experts in a variety of different topics. And I think, you know, for an audience member, they're not only going to be entertained when they come to the Annenberg Center, but they're going to be informed, and they're going to maybe go on a little bit of a journey with us to explore some of these ideas and themes in our programming. So I think one of the things we're always trying to remind audiences about is that there really is something for everybody here. It is a highly multidisciplinary performing arts center. If you're interested in dance or music or theater or film, there's really always something going on here for everybody. And I think, you know, along the lines of artists that you maybe wouldn't see in Philadelphia otherwise, the Annenberg Center is really a great place for curious audiences. And that's definitely something we want to maintain in terms of our programming. And, you know, if people are thinking about things and they want to hear different perspectives or get an understanding of different cultures and different worldviews, this is a great place to do that.
That was Christopher Gruis, Executive and Artistic Director of the Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts at the University of Pennsylvania. More information on its programs and upcoming season can be found at annenbergcenter.org. I hope you enjoy these conversations that I bring you each week, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges in the arts world on Atempo. Remember, though, that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to Atempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. You can listen to past programs of Atempo by going to our arts and cultural news page at wwfm.org or searching for Atempo on our program page. Atempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.